following message is a presentation of Valley Metro Church, a community of believers dedicated to knowing God and making Him known.
God is in the house this morning. It's great worshiping with you this morning. I hope everyone's off to a great start on your new year. It seems like God gives us this this time, just like your computer, if it's ever acting up, you just got to reboot it, and it kind of works better. God gives us this opportunity in the new year to kind of do a reboot, kind of figure out our direction, priorities, get a plan down. And so I love this time of new year because I think it's a time that all of us begin to look at what it could be like, what it should be like, what does God want it to be like, how do we better align with God for what He has for our lives. And so we're doing a series on God's will. And I'm excited about the series because there's always revelation, I think, and understanding of some of the amazing details that God put in us. Last week, we looked at some of the general things. We looked at general things like what the Bible says specifically, that you were wonderfully and fearfully made. Everyone was wonderfully and fearfully made uniquely, distinctly by God, in a way with things that He put in you very specifically, not by accident, not by happenstance, but by God's design. And He did it for a reason, and He did it for a purpose. And we also looked last week at some of the general will of God for our lives. It says in Ephesians that we were made for good works, that God made us to have a fulfillment, to do these things that He actually wrote on the hard drive, if you will. He wrote it into the program of our heart. The living God wrote some things on our heart. And our job is to begin to discover these things and unpack this gift of understanding what God's will is. And so last week, we looked at some of the general things. Today, I'm excited because we get to look at some of the specific things this week and next week. This week, we're going to look at some of the natural things in your life that paint a picture of what God's design is. And next week, some of the spiritual things God put in you that help clarify what that picture looks like. It's been said that the easiest way to discover the purpose of an invention is to ask the creator of it. And it's the same is true with the discoveries in our life. To ask God, what did you put in me? What did you make me for? What would the fullest expression, God, of your will for my life? And so today we're going to look at specifically, we're going to look at gifts and talents in your life, because you need to know that God put those gifts and talents in you with specific intention and design. Quite simply, what God put in you, He expects to come out of you. And if we try to understand God's will and we don't come to terms with this, we really miss God's design, and we miss a big part of what God's will for our life is. We know clearly this, the whole narrative of Scripture points to Jesus. And last week we looked at, if you weren't here, God wants everyone to come to a saving knowledge of through faith in Jesus Christ. That is clearly the monumental crossroads of all creative order for God, for all people to come to Jesus. Now, how do we live? What's the aim? What's the purpose? What should be the tempo of our life? How are we measuring success? This is where you see the pendulum swing very widely interpreted. And I think Scripture lays out some things specifically about what God put in us that help to clarify. Like if you were looking at a lens, it would start to clarify like, oh, I think I see it. I'm starting to see it now. And so today we want to just paint the picture of what God put in you. And hopefully when we look at this passage, there'll be some greater discovery. If you have your Bible, Matthew chapter 25, and this is the parable on the talents. We're calling this God's will and my talents, because when you look at God's will and you look at your talents, you're going to realize God designed these and put them together in a way that when you discover the talents and understand them better, you begin to get a clearer picture of His will. And we're going to look at this in sections, starting in verse 14. I love this. You guys are very familiar with this, I'm sure. Many of you are. I love this passage because every time it comes up to me, I see deeper things in it that I never saw before. And so let's break this down. Starting in verse 14, he says, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave five talents of money, to another two talents, and to another one talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the five talents went at once and put his money to work and gained five more. So also the one with the two talents gained two more. But the man who had received the one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. To start out, this is a parable. Jesus taught in parables. He used them over and over again. And parables are a picture that Jesus paints, an allegory, a story of what the kingdom of God is like. The universe is God's, and through Jesus, we actually enter into God's world. God's got a loving hand, an invite out there. We can be on the outside of God's kingdom looking in. We can try to figure it out from the outside, but until you step into God's kingdom through Jesus Christ, he is the door. He calls himself the door. He's the way, the truth, the life. Through Jesus, we enter into God's kingdom, and these parables paint a picture of what it's like to get in the kingdom, what it's like when you're in the kingdom, how to live in the kingdom, what to expect. And so this parable is painting a picture, and it starts right out with the relationship. And the first one is the master, who is God in the story, and us. We're in the story too. In fact, we're in every parable. You have to read the parable and say, which one am I? And that's the whole point of the parables. Which one am I? And where do I fit into this picture of God's story here? And in this story, the way it's referring to us, the guys in the that were given the talents, as well as us, because all of these parables live on, we are being called servants. There's the master and the servants. And this is so important, because if we don't understand this part about being a servant, we completely miss the whole context of not only what is success in life, we'll miss the context of this parable, we'll miss the context of God's will for our life. Jesus said, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, Emmanuel, who walked on earth, said, I did not come to be served, but I came to serve. This is Jesus. We're followers, are we not? Got any followers of Jesus in the room? Only half the room? Come on. Amen. That's what I thought. So here's the deal. We're following Jesus. He says, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. Jesus said, the greatest of all is the servant of all. Jesus washed the apostles' feet, and he said, as you've seen me done, you do also. Servanthood is locked as a component, an attitude, a heart condition of the kingdom of God. In the parable, it's the master and the servants. If we don't understand our role in this, in the matrix of God's will and his design, that it has to do with serving God, if we miss it, miss the whole point. And I say that because our culture doesn't teach us a whole lot about serving. Serving is not really what's presented on TV or everything else. Role models want to be served, not serve. And yet God's kingdom is upside down. It's contrary to the world's kingdom. And the greatest of all is the servant of all. You and I are called servants, and if we miss this, we miss the whole point. God entrusts us, and it says it was his property, his talents. Which is interesting, because we think of talents as yours and mine, and we do refer to them that way, but in reality, they're from God, they're his. And he's the one who says, I'm going to entrust these to you. And so when they're entrusted, they're entrusted to us for a season, for a lifetime, but to be honest with you, that's not a long time to do with to make the benefit of what God gives us. We've got this window of time, and even that is a gift. And we've got these talents in our life, and God is entrusting them to us. And it says in here that not only does he entrust them to us, it says that he gave the talents to each one of them in the story and us in the room, each according to his ability. This is saying God knew how he made you, how he formed you. God knew what he put in you. He knew your capacities. He knew what you were capable of. And God says, you are capable of this and this and this, and I'm trusting you with it. In other words, what God is saying is that if I gave it to you, you're able to work this out. If I gave it to you, I can expect a display, God is saying. I didn't give you anything that I don't expect to be on display. This is the context of the parable, is he entrusts these things. He knew what we were able to do, capable of to do. God knew what we can handle and what we couldn't handle, specifically when he was giving out these gifts and talents in our lives. So in the story, in the passage, the people who received the talents didn't ask for them. They were given them. The people in the story had nothing to do with how many talents they received. Nothing to do with how many. But they had everything to do with how they used them and how they made the most of the opportunities. And you and I have nothing to do with how many talents we receive. We didn't stand in line and say, can I get a few more, please, and wait around longer and get some. God gave out these talents. He distributed, he entrusted them, each according to our abilities. That's God's sovereign design. We got to go with that one. But we have everything to do with how we use it. And this is where the story begins to unfold. So I want to ask you, have you come to terms with the talents in your life? Have you come to terms with the gifts in your life? And this is so important that I would even encourage you right now, if you have a bulletin, to start right now jotting down, as the Lord leads and shows you, what are some of the gifts and talents in your life. So I'd encourage you, if you want to do it on your device, take out your phone, put it in your notes column. Start, if you would do that, please, I think this will help you, to write down what you sense are some of the clearly God-given gifts and talents in your life. What are some of the natural gifts, the natural skills you have that everybody else doesn't, or not everybody, some of the abilities that you have that are pretty distinctly God-given and you have them? It's important to note that. I would encourage you to write those down because these are going to begin to paint a picture. In some ways, it's going to give you greater revelation and understanding of God's will for your life. And so if you're a note taker today, the first point is to identify all of my God-given talents. Identify them. Identify them. When I was praying over this message, I sensed the Lord say that for some of you this morning, this is going to be revelation. This is going to be like, wow, praise God, I'm getting it. This is really cool, God. I didn't know it was in your word. Thank you. This is rich. Awesome. For some of you, you're going to say, yeah, I heard this before. I already know this, Pastor. And I think what God was trying to show me is it's not about knowing it in your head. It's about knowing it in your heart. It's about understanding this and digesting this in your heart and letting it be part of your life, your DNA, your spiritual DNA as a son or daughter of the Most High God, not to know about it, not to have a cognitive understanding of it, but let it to be in your heart, to let it be part of who you are, because this is God's creative order. God's the one who gave these things out. And then for others, there's going to be, I get the idea of it and I get the heart condition of it, but I haven't actually stepped out in any of this yet. The fear or the timidity or whatever it is that's holding you back. And I just sense God was saying that all of us are in the room, in these camps. Thank you, it's new, it's fresh, I get it. Yeah, I already know this, but it hasn't really gotten to the heart. Or it's in my heart, I know what I'm supposed to do, I know what I should do, but I don't know about these steps. There's a reluctance and there's a holding back. And so my prayer is that through this, as we go through this, God begins to break through some of those areas in your life and we get a clearer picture, almost like tuning in a lens where you start to see a little more clear and you go, well, wait a second. Now I'm actually getting, the frame is clear and I'm starting to see. Next week will be some of the spiritual things and that too will refine some of the things of God's calling on your life and his will for your life. As you write down that list, and I hope you've been writing some down, I would also encourage you on that list, if you're not sure, you might ask somebody who knows you very well. If you're married, ask your spouse, ask a close friend. Because oftentimes, we don't even see the forest through the trees. Sometimes we don't see the forest through the trees. We're kind of blocked to some realities. You might ask some of your friends or your spouse, what are my gifts and talents that you recognize? And you'll be surprised that they'll say things that you don't even have on your list. Why? Because it's very evident to them. And sometimes it seems so natural that we don't think it's unique in our life. But to others, it is unique. And that's important too. So not only what you understand or recognize to be God-given gifts and talents, but what others see as, wow, you have a gift for this and a skill or an ability in this area that not everybody has. That's important. But I would also encourage you as you're writing up some inventory to also consider these things. And a lot of people miss this. When they miss this when they're thinking of God giving out gifts and talents and what God's doing in our life. And the next one is experiences. Experiences. you have some very unique experiences, and God brought you through some things in your life. God brought you to the other side of some storms in your life. You've been through certain storms that others haven't. God has brought you through on the other side. And let me tell you, that experience is your testimony, and it is incredibly valuable. Some of you have been through a storm. You've gotten to the other side. You have a story, but you don't think it is valuable, and you haven't shared it. And God would tell you, no, it is incredibly valuable. Share it. It's a gift. It's a talent. It's something you have in your life of profound resourcefulness if you use it. And just like any of these other gifts and talents, it can either be on display or buried. If you have a testimony in your life, it's to help others, to bless others, to help other people get free, to help point people to God. And I would suggest if you have an experience in your life, some of them you don't want to even go back there, but I'm telling you, if God got you through it, let it come to light again in the right circles and the right environments. Share those stories. The enemy, the devil, is the only one who does not want you to share your story. And the Bible says in Revelation that we overcome him, we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. By the blood of Jesus on the cross, which the devil couldn't touch that, and the word of our testimony reminds everybody every time of the victory and his defeat, right? So you got a story, you got an experience, God took you through something, put that in the gift and talent and put it in the category of an endowment of God's grace in your life. You've got a story by the grace of God. There were some who went through the same experience that didn't end up where you are today. And by God's grace, you're here. You have a story. You got to hold on to that. You got to put it in that category. And the other one that I would add to that is resources. Resources. Think of the resources you have. Now, this is one that some people put in a different category, just I think by overlooking it, but you got to look at the resources in your life. What has God given you? What do you have around you? What do you have access to? Because that is by God's grace as well. If God has allowed you to run a company or have influence in these areas, whatever any way he's raised you, whatever the resources around you, and it can be described a lot of different ways, what circles you have influence in, what he's physically given you or given you abilities to roll in a certain environment in a certain way, whatever these resources are, however you would describe them, that's the favor of God on your life. That's how you got there. That wasn't a happenstance. That wasn't freak of nature. That wasn't just random circumstance. That is God's favor orchestration, allowing you to be in those places. And that's why you have to look at resources as a very valid endowment of God's grace in your life. And I would suggest to you that all of these need to be leveraged for God's glory. All of these. Don't get categorical and say, well, that gift is that over there. I use that to make a living with that one. And then Sunday I come to church. And don't start getting categorical in your life like that. If God says you're wonderfully and fearfully made, if it says that we are God's workmanship, and Ephesians says, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, we're his poema, his masterpiece, his poem, that's what it says in the Greek. If that's what it is, if we were created in him to be on display with some kind of a good work, some sort of display, you got to come to terms with all of these things that God gave you and go, wow, that actually is a lot of stuff, God. And it does start to clarify a picture. Now with all this stuff clearly in front of me that I've maybe taken for granted, what should the display be like, God? What should it be like? What's the next steps? What's the tempo? What's the timing? And this is where things start to get exciting. So all of these are of great value. And since all of these are of great value, these are all endowments of God, and they all need to be quantified, if you will. They all need to, we need to take an inventory of God's goodness in this area, because he is the master and we're the servant, and these things are entrusted to us. It says in the passage, two invested, but one buried. Invested, the Greeks suggest put to work, in a toil or a task, an occupation to be engaged with, to be committed to doing, to labor for, or to minister with. There's something proactive. There's action with it. There's some engagement. There's some rolling up the sleeves and saying, here goes. It's not just, yeah, I already know about that and thinking about it. or maybe someday. That's not what this is. This investment is a proactivity of rolling up the sleeves and say, I'm getting in this thing. I'm jumping in the water. I'm doing something. I'm going to be involved, committed to doing, laboring, engaging, ministering with, important. And it says they did it at once. At once. Here's another thing about what God gives us. I see so many times we think we have forever. We think we have forever, and we don't. My brother-in-law passed away last month. My sister has 6 children, and he's my age, you know? And I'm thinking, no one even knew that last year was even coming. And all of a sudden, and you think you have all this time? You think that tomorrow is promised? Tomorrow's not promised. The Word says it's not promised. And it's all by the grace of God. So let's make the most of every opportunity. Let's live the abundant life, but let's recognize the times, as the Bible says. Let's recognize and let's make the most of every opportunity, like the Word is saying, because the days are short, and it's important to figure out what God's given you and saying, all right, God, let me not procrastinate. Let me do this at once. These guys jumped in immediately. And so if you have a gift in an area, maybe you have been procrastinating. That's between you and God, but you need to work that out. I will tell you, there was a time, like, for example, music. I was pursuing a record deal, came to Hollywood, played all these clubs years ago, big Marshall stacks, doing that stuff, with the wrong heart condition. I had an encounter with Jesus. He changed my life. For me, because of where I was at in my past, I got rid of all that stuff. I sold all the Marshall stacks and the custom guitars. Everything went away. Started doing acoustic worship at Bible studies and playing in jails. Years later, when things die, God has a way of resurrecting things. He makes everything beautiful in its time. Amen? But there's a right way. And sometimes, you know, you take the person out of Egypt, but Egypt is still in the person. And you got to get the Egypt behind you. Does that make sense? It's called consecration and sanctification. And there's a way in your life where you got to still work through some of that stuff. So that may be you, maybe it's not you, but there is a separating that needs to happen. And God wants to take away things that don't belong there so he can do things the right way. Other than that, I don't see procrastination in the story here. But the other guy who buried it, what does it mean that he buried it? He buried it because no one else could see it. No one can see it. It wasn't on display anywhere. And if you got a gift, a talent, you got a resource, you got an endowment of God's grace in your life, if you got any of these things, skills, abilities, resources, God gave them to you. If others don't see them, if there is no display, then it fits in the buried column. Because that's what happened in the story. There was nothing done with it. It was just put away, covered, and no display of it. So that's what he did. So ask yourself the question, second point this morning, will I invest by faith or will I bury by fear? Because it's going to be one of those two things. You'll either invest, taking a step in faith, or play it safe and just bury it out of fear. What if it goes wrong? Or what will people think? Or what if it isn't successful? Or what if all these fears will cause you to bury it and never put it on display. All you can say, God, I don't really fully understand this thing yet, but I know you put these things in me, and I'm willing to start taking some steps with it. And that's where the story gets good. I would suggest God wants us to be thoroughly invested. Take an inventory of God's grace in your life. What does it look like? And say, God, show me the timing, the tempo, the direction, but at least I know the inventory. I know the tools. I know the skill set you gave me. I'm fully recognizing it. The experiences, the testimony, all these things have great value. The resources that you've graced me with, wow, God, okay, I get it. These are starting to sketch the rough sketch of God's will for our lives, and that's really, really important. It says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, now it is required that those who have been given a trust, must prove faithful. The passage said God trusted us, entrusted us with these things that he's given us. We must prove faithful. Luke 12:48, and this scripture really helped me turn to Jesus. I wasn't raised in the faith, and this scripture here, it says, to whom much is given, much is required. And I knew God had given me some gifts younger, early on, and I knew I wasn't using them for His glory. And this one kept kind of slapping me, like, how long do you think you're going to get away with that? God loved me enough to keep pursuing me, and I kept, that scripture wouldn't go away. To whom much is given, much is expected, much is required. There's going to be an accounting giving. And someday we got to come to terms with that reality, because He is the one who entrusts us with these things. They're not ours. They're His property. And He entrusts us with them. And there's going to be an accounting. Speaking of, it moves on in verse 19. And it says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. This reminds us that there will be an accounting given of everything we've been entrusted with. And each one has an account. We have an account with God, apparently, and there will be an accounting given. And that's what happened in the story. It's what happens in our lives. Romans 14:12 says, so then each one of us will give an account concerning himself to God. So there's no skip in the accounting. You know, sometimes people don't balance their checkbook or their bank account or maybe even file their taxes, you know, even though you're supposed to, it can get delayed. But this one's on. There's a date for this accounting. This accounting won't be skipped. There's going to be an accounting date. We're going to stand before God, and God's going to say, how'd you do with this stuff? And it's going to go one or two ways. Now, in this case, these guys got rewards. They got rewards. Rewards based on faithfulness. So if you're a note taker, write that down, that God will reward you based on faithfulness. Now, what's important to note is the guy who got 5 and the guy who got 2, they were both faithful. They both got the same reward. It's not the guy who had 5 got some crazy big reward, and the guy who had 2 talents and got 2 more, he got less reward. They both got the same reward. It didn't matter how many talents they were given. It mattered that they were both faithful. It doesn't matter if you have 1 talent in your life or somebody next to you has got 20. That's irrelevant. What matters is to be faithful with the talent that God's given you. And that's where the reward lies. And that's what they got right here. And the rewards come 2 ways. One of the ways the reward comes is he says, you've been faithful with little. Guess what? Here's more. God dropping more on you. God giving you more opportunity. God giving you more, whatever it is, oversight. God giving you more blessing. God giving you more responsibility. Whatever it happens to be, it's like you've been good with this. You can handle more. That's God doing it in the story. Both of them that receive that. And the other amazing thing they received, and I love this, and I think this is how we have to measure success, it says, come and share in your master's happiness. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought of the master's happiness before, because when we think of God, a lot of people have a different, understanding of, well, what will it be like when I stand before God? I mean, how will He look at me? Will it be like, oh no, or will it be, oh yes, or will it be, what will that moment be like? But I want to encourage you in the story, the faithful ones got to share in the master's happiness. I want you to get a visual, if you could, of God smiling on you, big, big, huge smile, smiling at you personally. I don't know if that's foreign to you, but it shouldn't be, because it's what's in store for those who love Him. Get a visual, if you could, of God Almighty smiling at you. I mean, just so overjoyed. Just like a grandparent looking at a kid. That's my grandson over there. That's my grand. You know that kind of thing? Only take it to another level. Picture God smiling on you and saying, this is awesome. Would you come and share in this with me? This is a great thing. Would you share in my happiness? That's not something we often look at, but I would tell you, that is how we should measure success, is what makes God smile. What makes God smile? Because if we're not looking at what makes God smile, we're missing the whole thing about God's kingdom, God's will, our gifts, resources. We're missing the whole thing. But if we think about God smiling, that's beautiful. And no, guess what? When God smiles, you smile, because it is fun to please God. And when God's smiling on you, you can't help but smiling back. It's a great place of joy in your life. It's a great place of design. And so the fourth point is invest my talents in a way that makes God smile. Maybe you found yourself in situations doing something and you're like, wow, this feels like I was supposed to do this. Like I'm supposed to be here right now in this moment. You have this kind of a holy moment and you can kind of feel God smiling. Has anybody ever felt that before? Where you feel God smiling on the moment. Something about the moment has to do with God's design and God's going, I love you. I'm watching you. I'm smiling at you. And you get to share in the master's happiness. It's awesome. It's so awesome. There's been times at like county jail, you know, a bunch of people locked up, made bad decisions, you know, going in and sharing the gospel and just trying to be real with people. And then having a bunch of people saying, I'm ready. And a bunch of guys standing up. You know, these are a room full of a couple hundred felons. They're all standing, it's time to give my life to Jesus. And you walk out, you're driving home like in a daze, but you feel God smiling, and you can't help but smile back, because something about that, you must have been made for it, or whatever it might be. It might be in arts or creativity, where God's getting the glory, whatever you're doing, where you're like, wow, I think I was made for this zone. For some reason, God, I'm feeling heaven resonating with earth right now, like I was supposed to be here. Maybe I was made for such a time as this. These are these connection points that God allows us, and I believe it's when God's smiling on us and we sense it and we smile back. It gives you great joy. So do what makes God smile. In the film, Chariots of Fire, if you've never seen it, it's a great movie. The runner, Eric Little, he's an Olympic runner, and he's got this issue, should I do this or should I do this? I don't know. And there's a little tension in the movie trying to find out God's will. But Eric Little says, I believe God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel God's pleasure. I feel it. I feel God smiling when I'm running. What is that? God's saying, keep going, son. Keep running for my glory. And he did. He ran for God's glory. He even did a thing. It was the Sabbath. It was a Sunday. They wanted them to run. He's like, I'm not going to run. All of England's like, are you out of your mind? You're going to get a gold. You have to run. He's like, no, I want to honor God. I want to put him first. I'm not going to run. So you know what he did? He gave his race away. He gave it to somebody else, and he says, I'll run this other race, which I don't train for, and that's not my specialty, but I'll run that one, and you take that one, because I want to honor God. Guess what? God smiled on him, and he wins. And this is the hand of God when God smiles on you. It moves on in verse 24, and it says, then the man who had received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather seed where I have not scattered seed? ? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. This goes to show that people often make excuses for not investing talents. Always some kind of excuse, so some kind of reason. Can be a lame reason, but there's some kind of reason, some kind of excuse. This guy in the story, his attitude is completely off. He's saying things that are simply nowhere in Scripture about the heart of God, the nature of God, saying, well, I knew you'd do this, and I knew you'd do this, and God's like, really? It's kind of like semantical. So you knew that, huh? Because that's not God's nature. He doesn't reap where he hasn't sown, and he doesn't expect things that he didn't entrust us with. And so this guy was off. He knew nothing about the Word of God. He didn't maybe have godly friends. He is so disconnected from reality with what God really designed and wanted for his life. But the bottom line is that before God, there is no excuse. And it's amazing how excuses have been going on from the beginning. In the first garden scene, we see, you know, God showing up in the garden, and Eve's like, well, you know, it wasn't me, it was, you know, the serpent. I mean, serpent made me do this. What was I supposed to do? And God goes up to Adam, Adam, what were you thinking? It wasn't me, it was the woman. In fact, you gave her to me. So yeah, it was the woman, and you gave her to me. And, you know, it's like, what's with the excuses? There are no excuses before God. There won't be any excuses that will stand before God. You realize that? We can't make excuses before God. When we stand before God as believers, the great question will be, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with your life, your gifts, your talents, opportunities, energy, relationship, and resources that I gave you? Did you spend them on yourself, or did you use them for the purposes that I made you for? And there won't be excuses. There won't be any excuses taken. We're quick to make excuses for not doing things. Exodus chapter 3 and 4, you can read it later on. Quick summary. Moses, God's calling him into his will. God's saying, I want you to step into my will. And Moses has every excuse in the world why he's not the guy and he can't do it. You got the wrong guy. It must be a mistake, God. Wrong direct. I don't know what happened, God. You must not mean me. Can't be me. Maybe my brother. Maybe somebody else. I'm not your guy. No, you're my guy. No, clearly I'm not. There's a lot of, I stutter. I'm overlooking your stutter. Yeah, but they're not going to like me. I'm overlooking all of that. You're the guy. But my brother's better, you know. He's got every excuse in the world why he's not the guy. And God's like just knocking him down one by one. And as he's trying to make an excuse, this is where it turned around. This is where the story just turns right around. As Moses is sitting there making excuses why he's not capable, he doesn't have the speaking capacity, he doesn't have the favor, he doesn't have the this, that, he's the wrong guy. As he's making all these excuses, God just says, stop, and asks him one question. He says, Moses, what do you got in your hand right there? In my hand? Yep. What do you have in your hand, Moses? It's just a stick. Really? Is it just a stick? Well, it's a shepherd's staff. Okay, start with that. Start with that, Moses. I can resource you beyond anything you can imagine, but you got to start taking some steps. And you got to start with what God gave you, and you got to start with what's in your hand. And Moses is like, start with this? Yes, if you're willing to start taking some steps with what I put in your hand, watch what I'll do. And that staff started to do a lot of things. That staff, when God's on your side, God can multiply resources. That staff started to tap rocks for water, hit the seas in part. That staff started to go on the ground and turn into things that Pharaoh and his court's like, what in the world is going on? So Moses could say, God's on my side. I just got a staff, but God is on my side. And you got to start taking steps with what God gave you. And so he asks you and I the same question today as our worship team comes up to close out. God says, what do you have in your hand? What do you have? Right, like right now, what do you have? And God's like, I'll start with that. If you'll walk with me, I will start with that. Because you and I will tend to do what Moses does. Well, we can't, and here's a lot of reasons why we can't. We don't have the money to, we don't have the this to, we don't have a building to, I don't have a nonprofit first, I don't have a this, I don't have, whatever the things are, I don't have enough people or a team, I don't have enough sources. Someday if I own a media company, God, maybe I'll do that. Or someday if I'm a big actor, then maybe I'll do that. And someday if I'm, no. What do you have in your hand? Start making God smile with what you have in your hand. And when you start doing that, that's where you're going to see God meeting you on this journey. And so to me, Scripture is this rich with these stories of how God puts things in our lives, and we will identify what they are and start taking some steps. Yes, there is risk. There is always risk. But when God is on your side, if God is for you, who can be against you? You got to start taking some steps in the will of God as he writes it out in Scripture, as he begins to show you with your gifts, talents, and resources. As we begin to see next week some of the spiritual things he puts, they all begin to tune in that picture, and it gets more and more and more clear. And you might say, I just got a staff. And God say, time for no more excuses. Don't procrastinate and don't bury. Recognize what I gave you and start taking some steps. And it gets better and better all the time. Let's close in prayer and ask God to seal some of these things in our heart. Mighty God, we love you, Lord. And we just want to declare our love for you, God, as sons and daughters. You are amazing, and you say that we are wonderfully and fearfully made. We are not saved by good works, but we are saved to good works. We're saved by faith through grace. Thank you for that. But God, you made us for good works. You made us, Lord, that everything you put in us should come out of us. And I just want to pray today, God, that out of a love relationship, not out of, oh no, what do we have to do, but out of a love relationship with a Heavenly Father that loves us and wants to smile on the things that we're doing, that we would be discerning, God, of the things that you've entrusted us with, that we would recognize this rich, vast inventory of things you have graced us with, and we would say, God, here they are. How can I leverage these for your glory? How can I start walking in your will in a way that will make you smile, that will bless other people with these very awesome things that you gave me, God? And I just pray, God, we would stop excusing, making excuses. We would stop burying and procrastinating. You even challenge us, just like Moses saying, what's in your hand? What's right around us? What's at our workstation, at our desk? What's in our neighborhood? What's right around us? It's already in our gift set that you've given us, God. What is immediately right around us? And I pray you begin to show us how to start from there. God, we love you so much, God. And I believe you look down at a room like this and you see literally hundreds of gifts. There's hundreds of gifts in this room. Hundreds of resources, gifts, talents, abilities, stories, testimonies, all sorts of things, God. Resources. And Lord, if we would just tune our ear to heaven and get a little direction on how these things can be on display, Lord, you'll be smiling in a whole different way, and we'll be smiling in a whole different way, because it's success in your eyes, and we'll find it to be success in our eyes as well, God. So I just pray, Lord, you'd seal some of these things, show us your way, lead us with mercy. We love you, God, and be glorified in everything we do, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
This has been a presentation of Valley Metro Church. We pray that this message has blessed you. To hear more messages or to support future podcasts, please visit us at valleymetrochurch.com.